In honor of Pentecost, we have a special scripture reading for you today.
We do indeed. Our friend Ishbel, part of our church family here in Kemeny, has graciously agreed to read today's scripture in the Doric. So please sit back and enjoy. And I invite you as well to follow along in your own scriptures as Ishbel reads God's word for us.
Today's reading is taken from the Doric New Testament, from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1-11. Hin meisto a, my friends, rejoice in the Lord. It's nae muckle hinnerins to me to tell you this, as I've telt you afore, and it'll be a safeguard to you. Watch out for the tykes, icky yards at man cutter, buddy. Just he mine, we are a circumcised, fin we worship God by his Spirit, and fin we're joy in Jesus Christ, and have nae confidence in fit we are in the flesh. I could put my trust in sick-like things, and gin ony chiel thinks he may hae confidence in think sick things, I have even mair. I'm a Jew, a circumcised on my 8th day of the clan of Benjamin, a Jew through and through, and a Pharisee forby when it came to keeping the law. In my zeal, I tyrannised the kirk, and as far as hurdin' up the law is concerned, nae man could he fun fought with me. But ilka thing it was to my gain was tint for Christ. Aye, I look an a mortal thing as loss for buys a wonderful gain I ken in Jesus Christ my Lord. For I've suffered a loss of athing and could have tint nae mere nor sharn gin I myth win to Christ. Cause noo my place is in him, nae hain my ain righteousness in the law. But God has gien me a hechtest righteousness through faith in Christ. Now all I'm seeking is to ken Christ in the poor o' his resurrection, to share in his suffering, and to dee as he deed. Say a myth Abelin's win as he did, resurrection fae a deed. May God bless this reading o' his holy word.
First of all, a huge thank you to Ishbel for her willingness to share God's word with us from the Doric translation of Holy Scripture. As we mentioned before, today is the day when we celebrate Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came down in power upon the first disciples, enabling them to speak the good word of God in foreign languages so that all may hear and know the good news of Jesus Christ. What better way to remind all of us that God's truth is for everyone than by hearing the word read just a wee bit differently this morning. So thanks again, Ishbel. Very well done indeed. So this week we are continuing with our series on Philippians. We're calling this series Lessons from Lockdown. As we've heard in weeks past, the Apostle Paul, in his ministry and his life, endured a wide variety of hardships, including imprisonment. We know that Paul was locked down in prison while he composed this letter. He makes references to being in prison throughout the text. But Paul never allowed the circumstances of his life to dictate who he was. At all times and in all places, he was truly grounded in his relationship with Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He was able to see God at work in his life, even while he was in lockdown himself. As we all know, we are currently continuing with our own form of lockdown, not just here in Scotland, but throughout the world. Every government is grappling with the question of how best to protect people during this time of the coronavirus, while also looking forward to getting back to some sense of normality. For those of us in Scotland, we know that any such state of normality is still some time away. And as time continues to pass, many of us, I think, are finding it harder and harder to cope and to be patient in this challenging time. And our continued hope in this time is that by trying to listen to what Paul has to say in this letter to the Philippian Christians, that we too may hear God speaking to us, and giving us what we need to keep going together as a family of faith. So we're going to get into the text now. And as always, if you have your Bible nearby, I encourage each of us to follow along as we go through the text together, starting at chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. In verse 1, Paul writes, "Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is good or safe for you." So at the start of this verse, it seems like Paul is getting ready to wrap things up in his letter by use of the word finally. But it turns out he still has more to say. But before he does so, he is compelled to give his readers and his hearers another reminder of the need for every Christian to rejoice and to give thanks to God, just as he is doing in his own life, no matter what they are facing. He reminds them that they can rejoice because God can and will use every circumstance for our benefit and for his glory. And after this opening verse, then he goes on to chapter 3, verse 2, which says, "Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh." Now, that might sound like it comes out of left field, and it may sound like a rather severe statement. And if you feel this way, you're not alone. I think it's kind of severe as well. It's rather jarring to go from this reminder to rejoice to this severe warning. Who and what in the world is Paul talking about in this verse? To put it briefly, Paul is talking about a group of people who lived in his time who were trying to insist that Gentiles are simply people who are not Jewish, they were trying to insist that Gentiles had to first follow all of the ritualistic teachings of Jewish law before they could become Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And they were especially insistent on following laws, of all things, about circumcision. Now, I won't blame you as well if this situation feels very far removed from our own context, so let's try to make it more applicable to our time today. So in this letter, in this opening couple of verses, Paul was speaking against a group of people who were trying to insist that believers, especially new believers, had to first follow a set of rituals and rules before God would accept them as his people. To put it another way, Paul was speaking out against those who were trying to put some form of condition or limit on God's willingness to show love to each of us. So for us today, maybe an equivalent would be something like this. It would be saying that someone has to first be a card-carrying member of Kemne Church before he or she can be loved by Jesus. And I hope that statement strikes us as absurd and it gives us maybe a hint or a flavor of what Paul was concerned about in these opening verses. He didn't want anything coming between Jesus and the believers in Philippi or elsewhere. So carrying on with our text in verses 4 through 7, Paul continues by saying, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day," he says, "of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under this law, I was blameless." That's Paul talking about his old life. And here Paul is saying, no one has any more right than I do to boast about following all of these rules, all of these rituals, than these people who are trying to force all of this stuff on you. "I've done it all," he says. "I have every credential that every religious person could ever dream of having, and then some." Paul has all these qualifications. He is one of the so-called religious elites. But listen carefully to what he writes next. Here's the heart of the passage. He writes, "Whatever gain I had, though, I count as loss for the sake of Christ." Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having this righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share even in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, I have to admit that this might be one of my favorite passages from Paul's letters. The passion in Paul's words can and should stir our spirits. It should tug on our heartstrings. Before Jesus changed his life, Paul prided himself on his own credentials, on his own sense of righteousness in the sight of God and the rights that he felt that gave him. After he had that fateful meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul still had all the same qualifications, but now, by his own admission, he considered them to be rubbish. And that's far too polite of a word. The underlying Greek means something closer to crap. That's how strongly he's putting it here. Paul looked at all of his privileges, all of his rights, and he knew that they were nothing compared to having Jesus as his Lord. Nothing compared to knowing the power of Jesus' resurrection. For Paul, nothing else ultimately mattered besides knowing Jesus. Now, as we know, our leaders here in Scotland and throughout the UK are beginning to slowly, carefully, painstakingly lift our state of lockdown because of the coronavirus. I have read a fair amount about how the lifting of our lockdown is supposed to work, what it might look like, etc. And it's natural, it's human that we all have our own questions about this process, some of which are based on safety, what's okay to do, some of which are based on our own sense of rights and privileges. How much can I do now? Who exactly can I see? How far can I travel? And on it goes. And instead of asking about the absolute limits of what we are and are not allowed to do during each phase of this lifting of our lockdown, I wonder if in this time we can take a page from Paul's book and be much more concerned with how God is calling us to continue to live as disciples as this lockdown is gradually lifted. To be sure, our church here in Kemnay and the church elsewhere has not been inactive and silent during lockdown. Along with other members and groups in our community, our church family has been ready and willing to care for those who are in need. And this is beautiful and wonderful. And may God be praised for all of the wonderful work that people have done so far. With that said, as we begin to lift our lockdown, as we begin to find a way beyond the immediate impact of COVID-19, I suspect strongly that this particular chapter of the church's work is just beginning. As we journey forward together, the best way that we can make a positive difference, I think, is not by clamoring for and obsessing about our own rights, not by asking how much am I allowed to do, but maybe by asking, as the lockdown starts to lift, what are the best ways for me to care for those who are around me? In this time of transition and uncertainty, how can I model the love of Jesus Christ to others? In this season of life, will we be willing to be like Paul and to continue to focus on what really matters? Will we treat our Christian witness as far more important than any rights that we think we might have? These are challenging times, and we need God's help to live in such ways. May God help us to live in these ways so that the love of Jesus, more than anything else, will shine through our lives as we continue this time of change and transition together. That, for us as followers of Jesus, is what really matters. Amen.